Friday. Sounded like, to me, Wheels and Dave Murray was saying we'll probably get the game in tonight.
He sure seemed to paint that out.
Now, that's good.
It looks like when you look at tonight, I mean, I know Dave hates the apps, but I'm using the app in conjunction with Dave's forecast. It kind of shows that whatever rain there might be is kind of like 6-7 o'clock hour. You know, that range. And that means, you know, and then after that, it looks pretty clear. So you got a window, even if, I mean, I don't know for sure that it's going to start on time or start with a delay. We have no idea.
Yeah.
But it does look like they have a long window of no rain coming at some point tonight.
Gotcha. A couple updates. You heard Maria saying in the top of the hour news that the U.S. has launched new strikes against Iran.
Oh.
So seems like that's...
War's over.
Falling apart. Happened faster than I thought it would, but I certainly thought it would happen. And the Nancy Guthrie case isn't over with yet.
Oh.
The same person who sent the letters to TMZ has sent another one and said, okay, this is my last and final offer. I have placed a cell phone with the people who did this, all their information, and including a video of Nancy Guthrie in captivity. Didn't say whether she's dead or alive in the video, but he said, just send me a Bitcoin and I'll give you the location and the password and you can catch these guys and you can have your final answer.
Yeah, sorry. No money for you. If you know, you should do the right thing and turn in the evidence.
Even if it meant getting your loved one's body back?
At this, I know I'm a weirdo. That would not be my number one priority. My number one priority would be catching the jerks that did it and punishing people that did it and not giving them money. At this stage, again, unless you can show proof of life, you show proof of life, I'll give you money. Outside of that, forget about it.
Okay. George Mahey is here not to talk about Nancy Guthrie.
I know. I was dying to chime in.
Yeah,
but I
feel
free. I'm like, hey, over here. I got something to say. No, I, you know, not that this should be a function of money, but, you know, Luddite George does it. What is a Bitcoin worth these days?
50, 60 grand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a lot to ask, really. You know, I would think it would be a lot more than that. Two Bitcoins. No, I don't know, but. I
George is going to help them negotiate.
Yeah, George, did you actually do this, George?
Yeah, well, yeah, I was, no.
See, I think if it were me, for such, I get not paying someone who may have been in on it, but if it would be worth 50 grand to me if I could get back one of my loved one's remains and have a reasonable chance of catching the people.
How do you know this person will follow through if you give them the Bitcoin?
I don't.
It is literally untraceable. You could pay them, and then the phone's not there.
But it would be worth 50 grand to me to take the chance.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Am I just avoidant? Am I just messed up? I don't know that I would want the video. Like, what kind of video are we talking about?
Well, yeah, we don't know that. But I mean, you may not want to see it, but somebody else, like the authorities, could probably.
I mean, that just fills me with anxiety.
Yeah, I get you.
Oh yeah, I'd be really afraid to watch it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because it's not going to be good.
Right.
Like, even if she's alive and healthy.
Your best case scenario, it's just she's there and she's scared.
And she's scared.
Exactly. Right. Yes.
That's your best case.
Yeah. That's interesting. We all have different views on that.
Yeah.
What we would do?
I mean, I inherently would not trust someone who had a part in kidnapping someone or knows about it and won't just come forward to turn in the people that did it. I would not trust that person.
Well, yeah, they're untrustworthy by nature.
So I'm not giving them the money because I don't believe they're going to give me the information. How do I know it's worth a damn?
You don't, but this happens all the time.
I know.
The people flip on people and
you get
good information from criminals.
No, I agree. I just have a hard time giving you money to do what you should be doing for free because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. But then if you don't do it, it's always going to be in the back of your mind. Should I have done this?
I mean, if I thought that there's a good chance that my mom, in this case, obviously I'm putting myself in the position of Nancy Guthrie. If I thought my mom was alive or could be alive, then I would probably do it. But I need something that gives me the belief that that's true after this much time, knowing medical conditions and age and all that. Because the initial story was, if she doesn't have this medicine, she's not going to last very long.
But it wouldn't be equally as important to you to get her remains back?
I'm not. Again, I'm a weird. I know I'm weird. I'm not saying anybody's. I'm not right about this. I'm weird. That's not a concern of mine. Those things. Like, I don't care what happens to me after I'm dead. It doesn't matter to me. So, like, to me, it's not like once that's over, I'm not gonna sweat that part. I want to get the people more than I want anything else. Mm.
I would feel that way in maybe not in a hostage scenario.
Yeah, though. Maybe not.
Because I don't want anything disrespectful. It would bother me. This is such a morbid topic.
I know, it's a weird... No, it is.
It would really bother me just the thought of, like, I don't know what happened to the remains.
I get it.
Yeah.
That's why I think I'm weird. I know that. Like, that's not... That wouldn't be the first thing on my mind. I'm thinking solely somebody needs to pay.
Yeah. I would want to bring my person home.
Yeah. I think most people are like that. I think... I don't know what, 90%?
I'm not sure. I'm kind of with you. I'm kind of when it's over, and I'm not a big let's find the body and honor it kind of thing. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. I'm kidnapped, okay, Rach, Dave. You are in charge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not these two.
But I'll get them for you, Dave.
Are they communicating like through TMZ? Why do we know every step of this?
Say that again. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, is that what they're doing?
Are they
messaging?
Reaching out to the press, not the police?
Correct.
Okay. Wow. That's interesting.
Correct.
And how can this possibly dovetail into a restaurant segment? That's what I want to know.
Oh, you just watched.
Tell us about the Team Spirit
Awards.
You
just watched.
All right. Well, let's see if we can make that happen.
So, James Beard, you guys looked beautiful, both of you.
It was really fun. In all my years, I've never been to the James Beard Awards. It's held every year in Chicago, and it's the gala where the awards are given out and these things, and I got to touch one and feel they're as big and heavy as an Olympic medal. Very cool. Lauren Nalich won Best Chef Midwest, representing St. Louis. We haven't had a James Beard winner since 2017, so we were definitely overdue. But Cheryl Bear and I were able to get up there and get onto the red carpet. And it's, they call it the Culinary Oscars, and it's right down to the red carpet. And I'd never been on a red carpet, but I've watched enough of those shows. And everybody's got their little square. It says, so-and-so from the Chicago Tribune here.
Yeah.
You're right here from Forbes. You're right here. And everybody's got their little spot, and you're sticking your microphone out to the people that you're trying to stick your microphone out to. And we were kind of on the fringes, but one of the handlers knew that we wanted to talk to the St. Louis people. I said, this is a big deal for us. I was talking to the Chicago Tribune gal. I said, we've got 5 finalists. This has never happened. And she goes, Chicago only had 3. That's unbelievable. I said, it is unbelievable. So it was, black tie. I tuxed up, and you go to this gala, which is, 6 to 9. And I thought, oh, this thing's going to go. You know how people are. Mm-hmm. You know how those award shows are. Mm-hmm. At 9 o'clock, straight up, this thing ended. Just right on the money. And I thought, wow, this is so far so good. Then there's a giant gala food event. There had to be 40 little booths with James Beard winners, James Beard semifinal. Everybody there was a dude, and every piece of food that I had was better than the next. And this thing went on for hours. And then there was an after party, which I didn't make it to, but I can see how, if I get an opportunity, I'll go again. It was really fun. And there were the Andrew Zimmerns and the Rick Baylesses and all the national dudes were there too. So it was really fun. And we got to interview the 5 finalists. And it's fun to see all these chefs and everybody all dolled up. I'd been with Tara Galina on the train going up, and she was in her sweats. And next time I see her, she's in a long gown and all dolled up. And I went, whoa. She goes, I'll say the same thing about you. So it was really very enjoyable.
Who is the most interesting person, celebrity that we might know that you interacted with?
I didn't get to interact with him, but I tried to, would be Andrew Zimmern, who I did get to interview when he was in St. Louis. I think it was 10 years ago. And he's the guy I famously gave a 5-pound block of Provel cheese to. I said, let me run out to my car. I have a gift for you. And he goes, nobody's ever given me a gift. Give me the side eye. What are you doing? And I bring this Provel block. And of course he knew what it was. And so anyway, I've got a picture of that. And I was trying to hold that up to him. Like, do you remember me? Do you remember this? Just going for the long shot. But I was this close to him, but he was, everybody wants to talk to this guy. He's just a cool dude. So anyway, the red carpet was so much fun. And, you know, I was in the cheap seats and loving every minute of it. And we were filing reports right from there, you know, just trying to earn our keep. It was a ball. And so, then we did that reel that we put out a couple of days later, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, George, it must have been so cool to see Lauren Knowledge win this in person. I know she was a finalist last year, too. Did that kind of get you thinking, like, I think she might win, like, for sure this year?
She's been a semi-finalist, I think, 6 times. She's been a finalist.
And is that how it works? This is like, she's due. Yeah. It's going
to
happen.
You have to. Nobody just walks in and claims one of these. You just, it's kind of, you know, not that you have to pay your dues, but that's kind of how it works. And, you know, after the 6th time, Gerard Kraft didn't win till he was a semi-finalist 6 times. So, yeah, it's like, okay, this is her year for sure. And she was there, and she was just as excited as she could be. And it was really, really fun. And now since then, she's gone on and you know, this is a license to, like, we will never get in this restaurant as long as we live because of this. It'll just be impossible. So she was talking with somebody and said, you know, it's really time to talk expansion. And I know we really... I shouldn't do this, but it's the right time. And people are throwing money at her to let's do this and let's go to Chicago and let's do that. And you might see some activity there. I remember in days past, she wouldn't even open for dinner because there was no labor. There was nobody to hire. She goes, I don't have any bodies to, you know what? There's plenty of bodies now. There's plenty of people that want to work for Beard Award winner. So the labor thing's taken care of. I'm sure she's got investors just lined up. So she can pretty much do whatever she wants to right now. And she and her husband, they are just the nicest people.
Yeah.
So I have a question. And you could talk for hours in this, but you only have 3 minutes. I have an understanding what it takes to be a great radio person, a great lawyer, great baseball player. I understand those things. If you can do it in 3 minutes, what is it, in your estimation, that makes a great chef like this?
Well, I mean, you've got to have the creativity and the talent. And that comes first. And, you know, a lot of creative chefs have risen to the top, and they're jerks. They're just... You know, they're just not nice people. Those days are over. Now it's you see a lot of really, really folks that are nurturing their staff, and they want to bring people up from within. So you really have to be a pretty much a well-rounded person. And Lauren was one of her first jobs is she worked for Mike Emerson at Pappy's and was in that total hospitality group. She knows how to treat people. She knows how to do, you know, treat her staff. She knows how to treat the customers. And that is key. And it helps if you're a nice person.
Glad to hear that.
You know, and you know, I don't like to go to a restaurant. I don't care how good the food is. You know, if you're a jerk, the heck with you. I don't have time for that. There's too many nice people out there that deserve it too. So, yeah, I think you have to be a very well-rounded person these days to do this. And, we'll see where she goes. You know, I know she says, I've got something else planned. Mm-hmm. She doesn't want to do another one of these in St. Louis, she says. Mm-hmm. But will she expand the one she has? Don't know. Will she do another concept? Don't know. But I could see her doing some of that maybe, and then maybe expanding to Chicago.
Yeah.
She should. It's so funny. She was in Bosnia just 2 weeks before. You know, she was over there studying Bosnian food, and she's an American. You know, her husband's Bosnian, but you know, you talk about all this cultural appropriation. You know, she's as American as she can be, but man, she can cook Bosnian food like nobody's business because she learns from all the grandmas over there.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic,
you know? And that's the good thing. And I said, I'm glad you came back for the award show. She goes, yeah, me too. So it was really, really fun. I'll be first in line next year.
Nice. DGS, happy Friday. George Mackey is here hanging out from St. Louis Magazine. You were talking about something, George, and it's something I'm passionate about. No one likes bullies. I hate bullies. I always have. I was bullied as a kid. I was really small. I had a bully who I worked for when I was a lawyer. I hate him.
Did you get beat up on the schoolyard?
I had to fight.
Yeah.
I had to fight.
I did too, and I wasn't very good.
I didn't lose them all, but I had to fight all the time. Because my dad would have beat me up when I got home if I didn't fight. You know what I mean? Like, those were the days, like, don't come home complaining someone's picking on you.
Yeah, I'm not going to cover for you.
Yeah.
No, that was, my dad was kind of the same. It was never, his line to me, I'll never forget. I don't remember how old I was, but I mean, I remember it word for word is, if I hear of you starting a fight, you have a problem with me, but if you find yourself in one, you finish it.
Yeah. Pretty much what my dad said.
I like that.
And he wasn't wrong. My dad was like, look, if you give in to a bully a single time, they're going to own you. That's it. They're not going to do anything nice for you out of kindness. But George brought up chef bullies. And this concept has always just amazed me that there's this tradition. I was never in a frat, but I guess it's like, you know, you're just abused. But you got through it, and it was bonding, and now you get to be the guy to abuse.
You got to be the abuser. And that went on for decades and decades, and guys throwing pans, and it's like, how loud can this person possibly yell? Because you can hear it. You know, the guy's berating the cooks and the servers, and all this is happening, and you're out in the restaurant listening to this. Everybody just went, whoa, I guess they're having a bad
night
back there.
Guess he's a genius.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's I didn't ever really work for one of those guys, but I saw a bunch of them, and I'm shocked
you didn't.
No, and that didn't, you know, the guys I worked with and for were just really good guys, and they were all Culinary Institute, the chefs were all CIA graduates, so these guys were all super talented and super nice, and very well, consequently, very well trained, very well balanced. They knew everything. They knew the business. They knew how to be good guys. They knew the whole thing. So I was really lucky. I didn't work for any jerks at all. But and now I don't know. I could count on probably two fingers the guy, like, that guy's an idiot. You know, he shouldn't be doing what he's doing. So that's amazing. To not that it was the majority, but there are a whole bunch of those guys now. There are very few.
We have so many classic coaches were the scream ball coaches. Mm-hmm. Is it getting less like, is there any kind of a move toward, like, the way with chefs, like, kinder, gentler coaches?
We're talking about older or younger?
Across the board, I think
it's still a mix. It's probably leaning more toward calmer at a lot of levels, like the older levels. Like, you're not going to see screaming major league managers very common. Like, they used to be a little bit more aggressive.
Billy Martin.
But really, but even like, Tony La Russa is as old school as it gets. He wasn't a big screamer. He wasn't out there yelling at players or whatever. I think it's, you know, it depends. But I'd say the higher the level, the less likely it is, because the power structure has changed so much in the last 30 years. The players have more power than those coaches.
And you hear about this in the restaurant business, too. Everybody has to be treated differently. Everybody takes, you know, I know how you are. I have to treat him differently. And chefs have to be good at that. In the old days, they could just scream and yell. Yeah. The guy could leave, and they'd hire somebody right behind him. You know what? That guy isn't there to hire anymore. Yeah. So you better figure this out, or you're going to be working two positions on the line.